right, good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? God is good, isn't he? I want to start by saying a couple of things. One, be praying for our senior pastor, Pastor Mike. He actually injured himself a couple of days ago, so be praying for him. My name's Joel Libermento. I'm an associate pastor here at the River. And so if you're new to the River, welcome home. Welcome to the family. We want to just welcome you. Hey, and yesterday we had the Harvest Fest, which was amazing. If you weren't here, it was just a great time. And I want to do something that the Bible talks about where I want to honor a couple of people. Darren and Mercedes have led our I Love My City ministry. They're like, oh my gosh. But we just want to say thank you. Will y'all stand up? Let's give them a huge round of applause. They were out here with their I Love My City team and all the volunteers to help make it happen, and it was just an awesome event, and a lot of you came out, and it was sprinkling a little bit. We didn't care. We were having a blast, and not to mention the fact that yesterday at the Harvest Fest, one person gave their life to Christ. So that makes it worth it, you know, all the setup, everything, it makes it worth it, and Selena told me that there were others that were needing prayer for healing and things like that, so it's just awesome, and I just thank God for our church, our family, the way that we're impacting Saginaw and the community, so I just want to say thank you to you guys. All right, thank you. All right, so today, we're actually, as you know, we're in the series All About Luke, all right, and today, it just so happened, since I'm filling in for Mike, I landed on a good one. This is one of them good stories. So I'm really excited to share it with you today. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to open up and we're going to read Luke 6, 1 through 11. Luke 6, 1 through 11. All right? And I'm going to read it for us to kick us off today. On a Sabbath, he passed through the grain fields. His disciples were picking heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Haven't you read what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat? He even gave some to those who were with him. And then he told them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.'" Verse 6, "On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man there whose right hand was shriveled up, The scribes and Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they could find a charge against him. But he knew their thoughts and told the man, with the hand to get up and stand here. So he got up and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?" After looking around at them all, he told them, "Stretch out your hand." Told the guy to stretch out his hand. He did it, and his hand was restored. They, however, were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus. Let's pray this morning. God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the account of Jesus in this passage. And God, we want to be like Jesus. And so I just pray, Lord, today that we walk away with a renewed sense of what it means to have a Sabbath, what it means to be restored, what it means, God, to love people and extend mercy to others. And we pray that we get that today through the message. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So we've been following the life of Jesus through the book of Luke, right? It's been awesome. And you can see in this passage, there's actually a group of people featured in this passage that you have heard about over the last 3 or 4 weeks called the Pharisees. And now the Pharisees, if you're new to this, is a religious group of leaders, all right? And they're known for a lot of legalism and things like that. And just to put it in plain language, they were some haters, all right? How many of you guys have ever had some haters? Y'all are laughing. Some of y'all, yeah, I got haters everywhere. They were some haters. Now, we're going to try to empathize with them a little bit today to try to understand where they're coming from. But, you know, at the end of the day, they were some haters. And so Jesus has been teaching and preaching. He's been gathering a following. He's been calling disciples. So at this point in the story, Peter, God bless him, John, James, Matthew are all following Jesus as they're walking around and doing ministry. A lot of people are trying to figure Jesus out because at this point, he's somewhat of a controversial figure, right? And that's what we do. That's what the Pharisees were doing. We try to figure out controversial figures, right? Someone texted me about Kanye just the other day. You know, he put out two amazing Christian rap albums and then says some crazy stuff on TV and gets canceled by Adidas and Balenciaga. So my buddy Derek was like, yo, what's going on with Kanye? And I'm over here trying to figure out my opinion, trying to figure it out. We just do that with controversial figures. That's what the Pharisees are doing with Jesus. Jesus is showing up. He's talking about, I'm God. He's healing people. He's doing all this crazy stuff. And the Pharisees are just going, what is going on? But the thing about the Pharisees is instead of like taking a position of humility and wanting to learn from Jesus, they're starting to get a little angry. They're starting to get a little frustrated with Jesus. 2 weeks ago, they were at a house watching Jesus, listening to Jesus preach, right? Curious about who he was. And that's when you started to see a turn in their story, right? Jesus, what he's doing is he's breaking down the power structure. Right, the power structure that has been put into place to elevate the Pharisees that has been allowing them to lord over people. So the religious rulers of this day, they had a lot of rules, and we'll get into that in a minute. So Jesus comes on and says, I can forgive sins. He called a tax collector to be his disciple. Crazy. He's spending time with sinners. He told the Pharisees that he came for the sinners, not for the Pharisees. That made him mad. That's rough. So all of this is very, very confusing for the Pharisees, right? So Jesus is trying to reveal himself as God to the Pharisees, but they're just missing it. They're just missing it. Every story, you go back and you read it, every story, and they're turning more and more against Jesus. So in this passage today, we really see the origin story of the villain, okay? So, you know, every superhero movie, you get the villain, you got to go back to see how they became the villain. This is the final turn for the Pharisees. Like, they've been kind of cool up to this point. They've been checking Jesus at every moment. But now we start to see this is where things start getting a little ugly, right? And so he comes on, forgives sins. He's hanging with sinners. He invites a fisherman, a wicked tax collector to be his disciple. So he's just, man, he's just making them mad. Like, this is craziness. And then in the story today, we just see the final straw. Like, this is it. Like, the Pharisees have had it. You know what Jesus did? Wait for it. He worked on a Sunday. That joker. Can't believe it. How could he do this? Why would he do this, right? It sounds kind of crazy, like we laugh about it, but to the Pharisees, this was real serious, real serious. Let's talk about it for a minute. So how many of you guys love sleep? You guys love sleep? Well, I love some sleep, man. After the Harvest Festival yesterday, we got the house, me and Katie and the kids, got in some sweats and got in the bed all warm, and I was out. I took a nap. I was gone. Like, I love to sleep. We all love sleep. We kind of build our lives around sleep, right? That's a big part of what we do. Like, some of y'all got them little rings that monitor how many hours you sleep and all that kind of stuff. Like, we love sleep. Some of y'all are like, I do. Some of y'all are asleep right now. That's okay. That's okay. That's all right. Reminds me of a story. When I was coming up, my pastor, we had this big time of prayer at the beginning of the service. And my pastor's son was laying on the floor. My mom remembers this. He's laying on the floor. And we were all kind of like on our knees at the altar praying. And he was laying flat like this on the floor, praying. So the prayer time's over, everybody's getting up, going back to their seat, he's still there. You know, me and him are around the same age, so I'm looking over there like, yo, I think he's asleep. So his dad, who's the pastor, is there, and he's like, looks down, and he's like, all right. And then he said, you know what, I hope that his rest in the presence of God is like the best nap he's ever had. I'm gonna let him sleep. You know, I'm over in the seat like, dude, I can't wait till he wakes up. Like, this is going to be so funny. So we're all sitting there, and sure enough, he gets up. He's like, oh. And he's like jumping over to his seat. We were dying. It was so funny. It was so funny. We love sleep. That's who we are. In fact, sleep, there's some benefits to sleep, right? It is our way of recharging the battery. That's how we recharge. You know, that's why sleep apnea and insomnia is so serious. That's why you moms with a newborn, you know, that's not like a legit lack of sleep, you know, like by the doctor standards. But yeah, that should be something serious. Like, if you've been there, you know, we love sleep, and when we don't get it and we can't recharge the battery, it's rough. It's rough, right? It's a gift from God that we might maintain a wholeness in life. And if you've ever had a lack of sleep, you know you're not whole, like you're struggling, right? It's a gift from God to maintain wholeness in life. And that's why each of us tries to get a good night's sleep. There's another gift from God that he's given us in the scripture called the Sabbath. It's called the Sabbath. And it's actually a time of rest. It's a time where God has said, hey, I want you to take a day. I want you to worship God with the church. I want you to love me, to worship me, to let's gather together and talk about his goodness. Let's live in celebration about what God has done. Let's do that. And y'all know that. Y'all are here. Like, yeah, I'm preaching in the choir. But that's a gift. God said, hey, I want you to rest. I want you to take a moment from your busy schedules, and I want you to take it easy, right? The Sabbath is a time to recharge, and really it's a time of restoration. We hope that every day that you come in here on a Sabbath that you feel restored by God. That's our hope. That's the prayer, that you are restored. And so it's actually in the scripture. If you look back in the day when Moses, you guys know the story, Moses, they leave Egypt. He goes up on the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments. This is how serious the Sabbath is. We ought to count it that serious. It's one of the big ten, the Ten Commandments. It actually says in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So it makes sense that the Pharisees are like, hey, this is real serious, and we ought to consider it serious too. I mean, I've shaped my whole life around the Sabbath. Like, I love this. This is like my favorite day of the week. Like, this is where I want my family to be on Sunday. I want us to be worshiping together. My kids are being ministered to right now. Like, I love this, right? And so that's what the Sabbath is for. God designed it that way. And hopefully you feel restored after a Sabbath rest in your life, right? So they took it very seriously. We do too. But here's the thing about the Pharisees is they just took it a little too far. Okay, so let me just kind of paint the picture real quick. Like, they put a bunch of rules, a bunch of crazy rules on the Sabbath, and they would use it to kind of lord over people, to elevate themselves, all right? And the rules were insane. We'll talk about some of that for a minute. But, like, if you ever had a grandma who, like, told you, like, hey, you don't need to be working on a Sunday, right? And then she put you on blast or something like that, it's worse than that. Like, the Pharisees were so serious about the Sabbath, like, if you broke the Sabbath, you could be stoned to death. Okay, so it's real serious, real serious. Thank God we don't do that today. Thank God we're free men and women, right? So let's get into the story, and I want to talk a little bit about the Sabbath and how Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. All right, you guys ready? All right, let's do it. On the Sabbath, he passed through the grain fields. His disciples were picking heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating them. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, haven't you read what David and those who were with them did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but priests to eat, and he gave some of those to who were with them. So let's stop right there. I want you to understand kind of what just happened. Right, Jesus was with the homies, like he's with the boys, and they're walking through a grain field, all right? And they got some of the grain, and they were hungry, and so they said so they were rolling in their hands, and they were eating it. So why were the Pharisees so mad? You know, my first thought was like, were they trespassing? Was this illegal? Were they stealing grain? That wasn't it. There was actually a rule back then that if you were traveling and you were walking along some fields, that at the edge of the field, you're actually allowed to take some of the grain or take some of the food. So that wasn't it. So they're walking along, and what's crazy about this to me is I was just thinking, I was like, man, which disciples was it? The Bible doesn't say. But I was like, you know what? I bet it was Peter. I bet Peter was the one that was like, you know what? I'm going to get this grain. I'm going to eat this grain, because he was trouble. And they're walking along, and then they get run up on by the haters. The Pharisees are there. And I'm also, like, it's not in the scripture, but I'm like, where were they? Like, were they hiding off in the grain field? Like, where were they? Did they come? They came pulling up on them on some donkeys? Like, I wish the Bible was a little more descriptive in some areas, because to me, that's just weird. Like, just imagine you and your friends, you're walking along, and then some spiritual leaders, some pastors or preachers come out the woods or something. You're like, oh, what are you doing? So Jesus had these haters, and they just were everywhere. They were everywhere. So it was kind of crazy, right? So then he gets the grain. They work the grain, and then they eat the grain. Now, this is a problem, because when they did that, according to the Jewish law. They dishonored God. They dishonored their family. And what's even crazier about that is that in that moment, they were considered to be farmers that were now harvesting the grain and working on the Sabbath. Isn't that kind of crazy? Like, that was the rules that these religious leaders had put on the people, that picking a piece of grain was working. It's wild. And that's crazy. Can you believe that? That's some of the insanity, some of the insane rules that these religious leaders had put on them. I imagine, I'm trying to empathize with the Pharisees. I imagine they started with good intentions. Like, we need to keep this day so holy, we ought to put these rules in place, right? I mean, that had to be that. They weren't like, yo, let's control these people. I don't think that was the case. But I think they were like, yo, we need to make this so holy. But then they started to miss why they were really taught, why the rules were created in the first place. That's when they started slipping a little. And they actually had a bunch of crazy rules. Like, one, you couldn't work at all. You couldn't work at all. In fact, the scripture said you can't even walk 2,000 steps. You can't walk 2,000 steps. That's crazy. Good thing they didn't have, like, their trackers or step trackers or anything, because I feel like the Pharisees would have been like, excuse me, come here. I need to see your step count for the day. Like, you're in big trouble. Stone him! That's how crazy it was. You couldn't cook any food. You weren't allowed to light a fire. What if it was cold? Good thing they were in the desert. This one's kind of crazy. If a house fell on somebody, this is for real. If a house fell on somebody and they were still alive, you were able to get them out. But if they had died in the house and it fell on them, you weren't allowed to go get the person because it was considered work. So you had to wait until the Sabbath was over to go in. Oh my gosh, crazy. This one's even crazier. If you were to spit on the ground, you couldn't kick dirt to cover it up, because that's considered striking the ground, which is like working the field. So that was considered work. So like, and then if you look in the Jewish law, it was okay to spit on a rock, but you couldn't spit on the ground and kick dirt over it because you were working and you were breaking the Sabbath. Crazy. Would y'all like to live under that pressure? No. That's crazy. This was the kind of stuff. So in their attempt to honor the Sabbath and make it holy, they actually created this list of rules that were over the line. God's people were shackled by layers of interpretations and rules that distorted God's original purpose for the Sabbath, which was restoration. All right, so now picking grain broke the rules. So they attack Jesus. They start asking him questions, which is incredibly disrespectful. I mean, I just had this thought. Like, think about this. If God the Father, right, is also Jesus, and Jesus is in the flesh here on the earth, right? That makes the Pharisees, like, God created the Pharisees. Jesus is God. Like, so basically these Pharisees are his children. Imagine your kids being disrespectful to you and trying to tell. That's crazy. It's embarrassing for humanity that the Pharisees did this. Like, the God of the universe came down, and now that they're showing up and hating on him. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. And so it gets worse. So here's what Jesus does. And this is why Jesus' responses in the story is why I'm so happy I got to preach a sermon, because I love Jesus for this kind of stuff right here. They go, yo, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus calls out the Hebrew hero. He pulls up a story about David, because they love David. They love David. And he goes, you remember that time David, before he was king, when he was on the run from Saul? And he was in the temple. They were hiding in the temple, and they were so hungry, and they ate of the bread of the temple, and that was unlawful. He actually ate it himself and gave it to his guys, and they all ate. Oh my goodness. So he just punked them by saying, look, you're telling me that it's unlawful to eat, but your hero, David, is in the temple eating. We got kind of a, if we're going to apply it to me, you got to apply it to everyone, right? Jesus' point is, let's not be selective here. Sometimes rules get broken for a reason. I love Jesus for that. You know, he wasn't hating on them. He was just, hey, let's just be real for a minute. You're over here questioning us when your hero himself was in the temple eating the holy bread. If a rule is so strict that you elevate the law over the needs of a person, something probably needs to change. Don't you agree? Something needs to change. If following rules make you indifferent to human beings' needs, something is either wrong with the rule or something is wrong with your heart. That's just real. Is that too real? Is that okay? You cannot elevate religious laws to be more important than human beings. The Pharisees had made their rules about keeping the Sabbath more important than the people that the Sabbath was created for. That's what was so insulting to God. It's like, look, it was created for you, and now you're making it where... Anyway, it's crazy. The Sabbath was created for us. It was for us to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be restored. That's what this day is all about. That's what God intended it to be. And they completely missed that. And the next verse, this is what gets me hyped up. I was in my living room last night reading it, like, let's go. The next verse, in verse 5, Jesus says this: then he told them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So not only did he just say, look, your hero disrespected the Sabbath, he was eating holy bread, I'm going to tell you right now, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. That and so you know how mad that would get. What he's saying is, your Sabbath rules don't apply to me because I'm the one that created the Sabbath. Jesus is like, I am the Sabbath. That's why it's so embarrassing. You don't try to step to the God of the universe and just say, hey, you're not following the rules. He's like, yo, I created it. And you can imagine the leaders weren't excited about that. It got even more ridiculous, all right? Oh, it's painful. Some people just don't give up, right? They just don't give up. You think by now. Look what happens next in verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was shriveled, and the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they could find a charge against them. So this is a different day, all right? This is a different day. Jesus is teaching in the church. A man who had a messed up hand came into the church for healing. So certainly there couldn't be anything wrong, right, for Jesus to be helping this guy on the Sabbath. It's got to be okay, right? Think again. Look at this. Verse 7, it says, They were watching him closely. Why do you think he was doing that? Why do you think they were doing that? To see if he is who he says he is, God? No. To learn or grow their faith? Mm-mm. Here's the problem with the Pharisees. They lacked humility. Because what grows out of humility is mercy and grace. They were watching. Man. They were watching. Have you ever gone to a restaurant, had a really bad experience? Terrible customer service. It wasn't Chick-fil-A. And it was a bad experience. So you go into that next restaurant like, I'm watching. Because when that waitress or waiter messes up, you know what? I'm going to be validated and letting them have it. Right? You ever gone, you're looking for a new church, you were offended by the pastor at the old church, you walking in, watching. If he don't say hey to me or don't text me back, you know what? I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to be mad. Maybe God's not real. That's real, though. People say that kind of stuff. Maybe you had a relationship, a friend or a family member or somebody. Maybe it was a loved one, somebody you loved, and you had a bad past experience with somebody, right? And you're in that relationship now just watching. Like, man, when they mess up, you know what? I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to be validated. I feel like the Pharisees in this situation were like wounded. They were hurt. They had a lot going on in here. And they were watching. They're waiting. And what was interesting about this to me is that in the story, they aren't even worried. They're not questioning whether he can heal. Like, look at the verse here. Let me see here. The Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal. So the... they know he can heal. That's not in question. It's that, will he on the Sabbath? Will he do this on the Sabbath? And they're trying to find a way to bring this man down. And so someone comes in on the Sabbath, and he's healing them against their rules. And so the Pharisees, they're not happy about this, right? Jesus is trying to show them who he is, but they've already made up their mind. So now everything Jesus does will just support their confirmation bias against him. Whew, that's crazy. Because some of us have been there. Some of us have done that. You know, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but that's just real. One of the greatest, the thing about the enemy now, this day and age, especially in the church, is like the church is so strong that there's a lot of things that the church can stand against and the enemy can't do anything about. But if the enemy can get you to be offended, or there's an offense in you, or there's something like that, then that's how he separates the church. Man, every church I've been in, there's been somebody who's been offended or hurt or wounded. You know, it's just crazy. I feel like that's kind of where the Pharisees are at, man. They're wounded, they're hurt. And they just want to see if this joker is going to heal. They don't doubt he can do it. So talk about missing the point. The prophecy said that when Jesus got here, he would reveal himself with signs and wonders. And what is Jesus doing? Signs and wonders. And they are so stuck on the fact that the Savior of the world, in the flesh, they think he's going to be somebody else. They can't see him for who he is. And it's because of their rules. So it would be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. They have God revealing himself to them, and they can't see because of their pride turned against them. And then, of course, Jesus does what he does. He cuts right through all that trash to talk about the heart of it all. I love this in verse 8. But he knew their thoughts. Jesus be reading people's minds. Have you heard that in the scripture? Like, there'd be so many stories where he's like, they didn't even say nothing, or they were talking over here, and he's like, I heard that, or I knew what you were thinking. And he told the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand up here. So he got up and stood there, and Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or do evil, to save life or destroy it? Jesus almost dramatically asked the guy to stand up in front of the synagogue and then asks a great question. According to your rules, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? According to your rules, am I allowed to help someone in need, or do I have to let them suffer? This is basically what he's asking, right? Which one is better, to break your rule to help someone, or obey the rule and let someone suffer? It seems like a really dumb question, doesn't it? It's almost like if somebody came up to the church, right? They had a flat tire. Yo, and we were like, they're like, hey, can you help me change this tire? And we're like, sorry, it's Sunday. It's a Sabbath. We can't help you. If you'll stay here with your car busted up like this until midnight, then we can come back and help you. You see how crazy that is? Like, that's wild, right? Sorry, it's Sunday. Or how about somebody coming in and saying, yo, I need prayer. And we go, no, sorry, it's Sunday. You know, we can only honor God on Sunday. You know, we can't pray for you. Prayer might mean that God's got to work on Sunday, and that's not good. You see what I'm saying? See how crazy that sounds? And that's basically what these rules have caused these religious leaders to believe, is that now I can't help somebody on the Sabbath, and they're giving Jesus grief for it. And Jesus says, according to your rules, is this wrong? And Jesus, in verse 10, it says, after looking around at them all, boss move. He's sitting there. He's got the guy up here with the shriveled hand. He's sitting there. He asked them the question. They didn't answer. He's looking at him in the eyes. I love it, man. I wish I could have been there. He's just looking at him. He knows their thoughts. He's looking in the eyes. He looks at every one of them. And then, so he calls them on it, and then he heals the man right in front of him. What a stud. Like, literally, like, he looks at him all in the eyes, heals the man right there in front of him. Calls him on their messed up law. Like, so you're going to tell me I can't help the dude because it's the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath for? Restoration, right? And we're restoring people on the Sabbath, right? That's what that's what it's about. I am the Sabbath, and I'm going to heal this person, and he does it right in front of them, right? And the next thing is amazing. The Pharisees fall on their face, and they give their lives to Jesus, and they become his disciples, and they just follow him all the way. It's amazing. No, that's not what happens. That's not what happens, unfortunately. It says, they, however, were filled with rage. Man, jokers have plenty of opportunities. We've had plenty of opportunities. They were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus. Like I said, the turning point. Before this, they were just angry. Now they're going, we got to do something to this guy. He healed a man, and they were filled with rage. God, let us not get to that point ever. And that's always their response. If our response is to God working in someone's life, and we're mad about it, and we're enraged, we got to check ourselves. And from that moment on, the majority of the religious leaders were out to figure out how to get Jesus taken down. He's forgiving sins. He's hanging with sinners. He's healing on the Sabbath. And their response to that is like, how can we get this dude arrested? Isn't that sad? Their hearts were hardened. Their own rules meant to help them follow God in a way of them loving and serving and recognizing the God of their religion now has caused them to go against their God. Wild. They wanted to, at some point, to follow God with all their hearts, and so they created a list of rules to help them be obedient to the one who called them to be. But at some point, their rules drew them away from Jesus. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? And today's just practical sermon, although, you know, I pray that God's moving in your heart. The first thing is this. The Bible offers us a standard by which we ought to obey God, and that brings restoration and joy. And we have to pay attention to the heart of the standard and the one who created the standard. It requires balance. It requires balance. Like for the church example, we ought to honor the Sabbath. We should. We ought to take a day out of our week and rest and celebrate God's goodness and do what we're doing today. Spend time with family and eat together and love God. We ought to do that, right? If we were to flip that on people, like we often do, and you were to say, don't you go to work on Sunday, or don't you go eat out, or you didn't go to church, God's going to condemn you, which I've heard pastors say, if you get to that point, you're not any better than the Pharisees. The Pharisees were putting this stuff on people. So what I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm just saying there's a balance there. You got to realize that the standard that God has given us in the scripture, I always say this, it's not like a list of rules, right? Although there is a standard that God calls us to, if you forget about that and you begin to make following that standard an obligation, you've made Christianity nothing more than every other religion in the world. Every other religion in the world says, I have to do this, this, this to earn God's love or to move God. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That he loved us before we loved him. That's what sets Christianity apart, is that we do this not because we have to. We don't love people into the harvest fest just because we have to, because we feel obligated, or we don't do it because we think we're going to be God's favorite. It's not why we do it. We do that out of the gratitude in our heart for what he first did for us. That's what makes it different. That's what makes Christianity different. That's what makes what we do is different. The second you slip into that, man, you become a Pharisee. You start putting stuff on people, and that's never a good thing. It's this term called legalism. We won't get into that, but that's for another day. And the second thing I want you to remember before I close today is this. We have to remember not to use the ways of God to lord over people and condemn them. The church, the universal church, has done this for a long time. If you go back into church history, Roman Catholic Church and places like that, although they did many, many good things, there were some things that they did that they missed the mark, and they would use the gospel to lord over people, make them do things that maybe weren't in the scripture. And we today have to be very careful about how we respond to the world and the people that come into this place, right? Because outside this wall, the world is waiting and watching, just like the Pharisees. They're looking. They're wounded just like the Pharisees. And if they mess up, because there's no mercy, they mess up, guess what? God's not real. I don't have to go to church. There's no value in that for me. They're waiting and watching. That doesn't mean we have to walk on eggshells. But you do have to know that if you try to use the gospel to elevate yourself or lord over people, that's not the truth. That's not the Sabbath, and we can't do that. So you have to analyze your heart. Because what Jesus did is, even to his haters, he extended mercy and grace. The haters, the Pharisees hated on him till the very end. And you know what Jesus did when he was on the cross? Remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He extends mercy and grace, not condemnation, not legalistic rules on people to try to control people. Jesus didn't do that. In fact, the very people that hated him, he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What if we as a church and Christians looked at the world outside who hate God, who hate the church, and we go, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The power in that humility before God could change the world. So we have to be careful not to be self-righteous like the Pharisees, to stand on a platform and condemn people. But instead, we got to show them the light of God and the love of God, inspire them to draw them in to know who the real Jesus is. We can't hold them to a standard that God doesn't hold them to. Today's challenge is to examine ourselves, examine how we live our faith, examine the authenticity of how we live out our faith and our relationship with God. Don't let the rules replace Jesus. Don't forget the reason why the standard is there is because of Jesus. Amen? Christianity is not a religion, although it is considered a religion. It's about a relationship with God. We don't have to work. God, he's already done it for us. Thank God. Let's pray this morning. God, we're just grateful. We're grateful that you are a God of mercy, a God of love, a God that frees us, not puts us in bondage. And as your children, God, we don't want to be offensive. We don't want to be disrespectful. We want to see freedom. We don't want to see bondage. God, we know that the Sabbath is holy and we want to keep it holy. So today we gather as the church and we want to honor you and celebrate you. And we're grateful and we know that you are the Lord of the Sabbath, that you created rest, that you created restoration, that you can heal on the Sabbath. And God, you want to see that on the Sabbath. God, I'm praying that people in this room who came in wounded and hurt would experience restoration today. Why? Because you're into that. That's what this is for. That's what Sundays are for. God, I just pray, Lord, that we as a people, we don't walk in legalism. We don't try to lord over people. We don't try to elevate ourselves. Scripture says when we lift Jesus up, he will draw all men to himself. And we don't want to drive the world away from a loving and merciful God. We want all of the broken people to come to know you. We want people to experience your grace, to experience your mercy. We want that. God, help us not to be like the Pharisees. Help us to be humble. Help us to be loving and caring to the people outside these walls and inside these walls. And God, we want to be like you. We want to be your disciples. We want to follow you. Be like you. So help us to do that. Send your Spirit to help us, to heal us. God, we need that today. On the Sabbath, we need that today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.